We shall come back again. We shall read first all the verses of this chapter as description of the divine worker and come back again to a few of them to emphasize a few important items. So, 6 verses, Sanyasastu Mahabahu, Dukham Aptum Ayogataha, Yoga Yuktaha Munir Brahma, Na Chirena Adigachati. O mighty arm Arjuna, renunciation is difficult to attain without yoga. The sage who is steadied in yoga can attain Brahman without delay. Yoga yuktaha vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha. Na datte kasyachit papam nacha eva sakritam vibhuhu. Agyanena avritam jnanam tena muhyati jantavaha. The omnipresent Lord does not take the sin or virtue of anyone. It is because knowledge is enveloped by ignorance that the individual souls are bewildered. If divine is all, then naturally he takes sin and virtue of everybody. But there is a state of his consciousness in which he is aloof from everything. Therefore the karma yogin, he combines in himself constant activity and a constant inactivity. He is kshara and akshara at the same time. Jnanena tu tat ajnanam yesham nashitam atmanah tesham adityavat jnanam prakashayati tat param. For those whose ignorance is destroyed by the knowledge of the self, knowledge shines forth like the sun, revealing the reality of the transcendental self. Tat param. All this description was of tat param. Tat param is that which is none of these things, even though he is vibhuhu, even though he is prabhuhu. He is the Lord. Vibhu is one who is spread out. Prabhu is one who is the master. Even though he spreads out, even all this is himself, even though all he is the Supreme Lord, even then he is tat param. He is still beyond all that. Tat buddhayaha, tat atmanaha, tat nishtha, tat parayanaha, gacchanti apunaravart vrittim, jnane, jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. Who have their buddhi fixed on the self and who are solely devoted to the self, they with their sense entirely destroyed by knowledge attain a state of liberation from which there is no return. So he attains to a perfect perfection and he is not obliged to come back to this world. He may come back to this world but not obliged. There is no necessity for him to return to this world. He really becomes free. You might say that these are some of the basic characteristics of a divine worker. Now a very important state of the divine worker is that of equality. So, vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi astini shuni cha eva shvapake cha panditaha samadarshinaha. The one who has attained the status of a divine worker, for him all are equal. And Sri Krishna describes who are all equal. The man of wisdom behold with an equal eye the same self in the Brahmins who are learned and modest, as in cows and elephants or even in dogs and outcasts. For him all are equal. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavi hastini shuni cha eva shvapake cha panditaha samadarshina iha eva taihi jitaha sargaha yesham samye siddham manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te siddhaha. Everything is conquered. Iha eva taihi jitaha. Everything is conquered by them. Yesham samye siddham manaha. Whose mind he is established in equality. Nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthitaha. Brahman is always innocent and therefore when you attain to Brahmic consciousness, you become equal-minded, then you are settled in the Brahman. Na prahrishyet priyam prapya na udvijet prapya cha priyam thira buddhihi asammudaha brahma vid brahmani sthitaha. One should not rejoice on obtaining what is pleasant, nor feel sorrow on obtaining what is unpleasant. One who has a firm intellect and unbewildered, such a knower of Brahman is established in Brahman. Vahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sa brahma yoga yuktatma sukham akshayam ashnute. We had also earlier spoken of delight. Here again, delight is obtained, but basically through the state of equality. Vahya sparsheshu asaktatma vindati atmani yat sukham. When the self is not attached to external context of the world, one attains the bliss that is in the self. Having united with the yoga of Brahman, one attains infinite bliss. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yonayah evate adyantavantaha kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. Having known, here the emphasis falls upon knowledge, having known that all the things have the beginning and the end, therefore, one who is wise, he does not get attached to those enjoyments which are born of samsparsha, by touch, because they are all dukkha yonayaha, knowing that they are all the origins of unhappiness. Therefore, he does not get attached to them, and therefore, he remains really in true delight, which does not depend upon any external sensations. Shaknoti iha eva yaha sodhum prak sharira vimoksha vimokshanat kama krodha udbhavam vegam sa yuktaha sa sukhi naraha. This is one of the most important statements. You should attain to this condition prak sharira vimokshanat. Before you leave the body, you should have attained to this condition. Very often we are told that liberation comes after leaving the body. Whereas Shri Krishna here points out that really you attain to liberation only when, while being in the body, before you leave the body, prak sharira vimokshanat, if you can bear shaknoti iha eva vegam, if you can bear in you the speed, the force of impetuousness, the impetus, which arises from kama krodha. There are two things of which the speed and impetus is so great, it is almost impossible to stop that impetus of kama, passion and anger. When you are seized by these two, the tendency is to satisfy them on the spot. No delay is allowed, as it were, by the consciousness. They want satisfaction here and now. So one who can sojum, one who can endure the pressure of kama and krodha, which is almost impossible because the speed is so great. Therefore Sri Krishna says one mark of one divine worker is that in the midst of kama and krodha, whether he can remain equal-minded. And one who can bear the speed of kama and krodha, it is he, and that too before you are able to leave the body, before that you should achieve this, that will be the real mark. Sa yuktaha sa sukhi naraha. It is he who is really happy. Yaha antaha sukaha antara antara ramaha tatha antara jyotihi eva tvatya sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhutaha adhigacchati. One who finds his happiness within himself, rejoices within himself, and finds an inner light only within himself, such a yogin becomes Brahman and attains the blissfulness of Brahman. Brahma nirvanam brahma bhutaha adhigacchati. These are the two words to which we should return afterwards, because they are very important. One who can remain within himself and derive all the delight from himself, he attains to Brahma Nirvana, he attains to the complete liberation that is obtained when you become one with Brahma, Brahma Bhutaha, when you become the Brahman, then you attain the Nirvana, the liberation that comes by attainment of the Brahman. Labante Brahma Nirvanam Rishayaha Kshina Kalmashaha Chinna Dvaidha Yatatmanaha sarvabhuta hite rataha. They attain to Brahma Nirvana. Labhante Brahma Nirvana. They attain to Brahma Nirvana. Rishayaha kshina kalmashaha. The rishis, the sages attain to it. Kshina kalmashaha, whose sins are washed out. Chinna dvaita, those who are dualities, is gone. Yatatmanaha sarvabhuta hite rataha. But this Brahma Nirvana does not mean that you become aloof from the world. Even in Brahma Nirvana, you still remain rataha, you become engaged. Sarvabhuta hite, still remain completely engaged in the activities for the welfare of the people. Kama krodha vimuktanam yatinam yatachetasam abhito brahma nirvanam vartate vididatmanam. In the close proximity to the austere souls who are free from passion and anger, whose minds are under control and who have realized the self, there abides blissfulness of Brahman even here, not only there but even here. Sparshan kritva bahihi bahyan chakshuhu cha eva antare dhruvohu prana apano samau kritva nasa vyantaracharino. Shutting out all external objects, focusing the vision between the eyebrows, harmonizing the inward and downward breaths within the nostrils. Yatendriya mano buddhihi munihi moksha parayanaha vigata iccha vayakrodaha yaha sada muktaha evasaha. The muni who controls his senses, mind and intellect, who is adherent to liberation alone, one who has renounced all desires and anger, he is ever emancipated. And last is the description of the divine worker. Bhoktaram yajya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam jyatva mam shantim prichati. He, knowing me as the enjoyer of all sacrifices and finances, as the great God ruling over all the worlds, as the friend of all beings, attains. The real friendship comes at this level, when you know the divine yourself, himself as your friend, and divine present everywhere, then the automatic friendship arises in the consciousness. Now the theme of quality, which was already given earlier, he still continued in the sixth chapter also. And as I told you, the fifth and sixth chapters are interrelated. And this theme of equality is so important in the Bhagavad Gita that we need to concentrate upon this theme once again. So let us come back again to the fifth chapter and see all kinds of attributes which are given to the state of equality. The verse number 18 onwards, you have several statements about equality of consciousness. Now, to be able to understand fully the whole theme of equality, we need to visit the second chapter also, because there too we have a number of verses which relate to equality. Since equality is one of the fundamental themes of the Bhagavad Gita, you get in chapter number 2 and chapter number 5 and also in chapter number 6 a great deal of emphasis on equality. And all of them are interrelated. So first of all we see chapter number 2 and verse number 56 and 57.
Suppose second chapter. Whole thing is not like this.
Pardon?
Whole theme of Sitapadne's Lakshana now.
Yes.
Start.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That there is a close connection between the chapter number 2 and chapter number 5. And also chapter number 6, where the theme of equality, samatvam, is described. Since we are doing the text of the Bhagavad Gita, I am referring to this because you have then a real understanding of the interconnections of the verses of the Gita. Why this repetition, if there is a repetition, why? The reason is that fifth chapter is a kind of a summation is a summary in which all that has gone into the first four chapters is taken up, and full summary is given in the fifth chapter. It is this interconnection which has to be understood. It is not as if there is a repetition here and there. Many people say Gita has lots of repetition, but that happens only when you do not read the Gita in the context. Why this repetition? Because now this is summation. Ultimately, Sri Krishna, having described the whole of the Karma Yoga, in fact, this third chapter, as I have told you earlier, is the quintessence of the Karma Yoga of the Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, there is introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. In the fourth chapter, there is a culmination of the Bhagavad Gita. In the fifth chapter, therefore, there is a summary of all that has gone further above, and therefore you get a description of the divine worker. And in the description of the divine worker, you have to say the most important element in his consciousness is that of equality. We have said that the karma yogin, when he reaches the highest level, his first attribute is that he is free from egoism. Second, he is free from desire. Third is that he is equal-minded. The fourth is that he is impersonal, that he is peaceful, shantim adhigacchati, and he is sukhi, he is in delight. These are the few words which describe the real divine worker. In this description, this is a summary of the whole thing, after finishing all the four chapters, summary of it. Therefore, what is most important in the Gita as regards equality is concerned, we have here the description of the equality. But we have to take into account also where equality is described earlier, so that in our mind there is a connection. And therefore I am referring to this, verse number 56 and 57. Dukheshu anudvigna manaha sukheshu vidata spriha vitaraga bhayakrodaha sitadihi munihi uchyate. He who is not perturbed in mind in the midst of sorrowful conditions, and who is devoid of coveting in the midst of happiness, who is free from attachment, fear and anger, such a one is called a sage of steady wisdom. He remains equal whether in happiness or in misery. Then in the next one, yaha sarvatra nabhi sneha tat prapya shubha shubham na abhinandati na dveshti tasya pragya pratishthita. He who is without attachment in everything, and who neither rejoices nor hates in whatever good and evil he may obtain, his wisdom is firm. And then you have in paragraph verse number 64 and in 70, these two, in 64, raga dvesha vimuktaihi tu vishayan indraihi charan atmavashyaihi videyatma prasadam adhigacchati. The self-controlled man, though enjoying the sensory objects with his senses, restrained and free from attachment and hatred, obtains peace. And then if you read number 70, apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram apah pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamaha yam pravishanti sarve saha shantim apnoti na kama kami. Just as waters from different rivers enter into the ocean from all sides, yet the ocean continues to be still, in the same way, a person who is not perturbed by the incessant flow of desires, he alone attains peace and not the desirer of sense objects. Now in the fifth chapter, apart from this number 18, we have also in 19 the same theme, and also again in 22 and 23. In 19 we have iha eva taihi jitaha sargaha yesham samye sthitam manah nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmani te sthitah. Even here on earth the world is conquered by those whose mind is established in equality. Brahman is flawless and is the embodiment of equality, therefore are these steadied in Brahman. And then 22 and 23, yehi samsparshaja bhoga दुःखयोनय एवते आद्यन्तवन्तः कौन्तेय नतेषु रमते बुधः. The enjoyments obtained by the contact of the senses with their objects are the sources of sorrow. They have a beginning and an end. Therefore, O son of Kunti, the wise man finds no joy in them. And then in 23, Shaknoti iha eva yaha sodum prak sharira vimokshanat kama krodat bhavam vedam sayuktaha sasukhi naraha. He who is able to resist the impulse of desire and anger, even before departing from the body, he is verily a yogin and a happy person. Now, these verses may seem to be repeating, but if you study them properly, you will find that there are three important stages of equality which are described in one way or the other. There is what may be called titiksha, the equality which comes from titiksha. The second is the quality which comes to you when you are udasina, when you are seated above, and equality which comes to you by nati, by submission, by resignation. These are the three steps or three states in which equality is obtained. Even those who do not do yoga, sometimes they happen to be in a state of equality, although they cannot retain it for long, but sometimes they do come to this state of equality, provided temporarily they come into these three conditions, or one of these three conditions, either in the state of titiksha. Titiksha is a state in which you are prepared to bear, to endure. When you have decided that you want to bear, somebody is torturing you, and normally we react to it, but if you have decided that I'll bear it, it makes all the difference to your reaction. The same kind of torture which was giving you pain, even though it gives pain to you, your reaction is you have conquered it. You are not overpowered by the torture. You do not become slave to the torture. You are able to rise above it. If you are walking in the hot sun, if you decide that you want to bear the sun, then you will find after some time that you are not tortured by the sunshine. You are able to receive the heat of the sun almost like a friend. You are able to bear it. It's a question of how you look at it. There are certain conditions in which the joy is so great that, like the My Fair Lady, you want to dance and dance the whole night. Such a tremendous pressure of joy you cannot contain. Now that is a state of inequality, because you cannot contain yourself. But there also, if you are able to bear the joy, contain it, to master it, it is also enduring. If you can endure the joy, then you can remain equal.
Buddha, don't you endure in the first place because of lack of strength?
Because of the lack of strength you endure, is it?
Initially, in the first place,
yes.
Why we endure anything is because we are not strong enough to oppose it, or is it anything else?
It is a slavish endurance, you might say. This endurance is not a slavish endurance. There are different kinds of endurances, and you are quite right that this sense of endurance can be mistaken if you don't make this distinction that you are making. At a time you endure something because you can't help it.
Resignation?
It is a kind of resignation, but even less than a resignation of a kind. There may be one disappointedness. Because you are disappointed, you can do nothing about it, therefore you bear it. This kind of endurance has to be distinguished from this kind of higher kind of endurance, where you can react if you want to, but you have decided that you will be able to bear it, you want to bear it. You don't want to react, you have to master it. That is what is called stoic endurance. Take for example a soldier who goes to the battle and is attacked by arrows after arrows. At every strike of the arrow, there is pain. But because he has decided, I want to bear it, I want to bear the pain, he continues to fight. So as far as the bearing is concerned, whether 5 arrows strike him or 10, he remains equal. Not because he is not able to react, but he has decided to bear it. The wounds are accepted, and afterwards when they are, in retrospect you might even say that wounds give him joy. He feels that he was able to bear the wounds, and then he regards his wounds as medals of the war. If you go to a warrior, once he has received the wounds, he often shows his wounds and says, look, I have been able to endure this. This kind of scar, which only shows a deep wound inside, he enjoys it by saying it is a medal of his war.
But how do you differentiate between
the
slavish endurance and
this
heroic endurance?
The heroic endurance is that you do not get subdued. In the slavish one, you are subdued. Here you are not subdued. You bear it. You rise above it and you bear it.
In other words, manobar. Yeah.
That's right. Yes. It is what is called in Western philosophy the attitude of the Stoic. It is a philosophy of Stoicism, which teaches you that you should be able to endure everything in the world. Joy and sorrow, love and hatred, honor and dishonor, success and failure. Bear everything as it comes. You are greater than all this.
In Jainism, Stoicism?
In Jainism also there is a lot of Stoicism, tremendous amount of Stoicism. So if you study these verses which I have read out to you, you will find that there is no repetition as such. There are 3 kinds of equality which are described. The equality which is a result of Stoicism, like Sodom, that which is the word Sodom is given the endurance. Kama Krodha Vegam. The Vega is endured. It's a tremendous sense of Stoicism in it. Then there is another kind of equality which comes to you by seeing the world, knowing what the world is. As Sri Krishna says, having known that all sense objects and the pleasures and pains which come from the sense objects, they have a beginning and they have an end. Having known this, you are equal-minded. Here it is not a question of enduring. Having seen, having known, it is by process of knowledge. When you see the whole world impartially and see the entire process of the world, then you are no more than affected by pleasure and pain. Those who have seen that you were in power one day and hundreds of cars used to wait outside your bungalow and suddenly you drop out and hardly 1 or 2 people come to meet you and again you rise to power and again 100 cars come before you, having known what has happened earlier, you will have already learned that you should not now feel exalted or excited when 100 cars again come to you. You have understood that all this is not because of you, that these people come to you. They do not desert you because of you. They come to you or they desert you because of something else which you possess at one time. You had honey at one time, you have now no honey with you. Therefore the bees come or don't come because of this, whether you possess it or not. Having seen this and all kinds of experiences you gain in the world of ups and downs, by knowledge, you now become uplifted. That is called Udasina. That is what is called, in philosophical terms, an equality which comes by philosophic wisdom. The third is that you have attained in your state of consciousness what is called resignation, acceptance. This also leads you to equality. There is a state of consciousness in which you feel that everything that comes to you is equal. O Lord, whether you give me joy or unhappiness, since it comes from you, it is all the same. So one who has this attitude of resignation, in Christianity, for example, this element is very powerful. Submit to the will of God. do not even resist the evil. Resist not the evil. Even this, if evil comes on you, resign to it, bear it, suffer it. Even to such an extent that suffering itself becomes a means of salvation. As Jesus accepted the suffering and took the burden of the sin of man and suffered as a result, it becomes the gate of salvation. It is a pure sense of resignation. It comes to me from the Lord. Submission, nati. In Sanskrit it is called nati, nama. Nama, to bow down. From there the word nati. Nati is a state of bowing down. You bow down to the will of God.
I can't do anything.
Pardon?
Whatever is coming, I can't do anything.
No, that is another function. That is another sense. In other words, while these three states of which I spoke are at a higher level, there is a lower level of these three also. There is, you might say, a resignation from disappointment. Not resignation in the sense that everything that comes from the Lord is joy for me. That is a higher level. But here, there is a resignation that comes from disappointment.
But with the spirit of tolerance, what will it come?
No, then it becomes higher. We have to distinguish the psychological threads. All resignation is not necessarily at the highest level. In the process of yoga, since we are at a lower level, very often we pass through lower stages of resignation, higher stages of resignation, and the highest stage of resignation. There are three stages actually. Only the last is the best. What is Karma Yoga of Sri Krishna is the affirmation of equality at the highest level. But at the lowest level also we pass through. And you find many people mistaking their present condition as if it is the highest. Therefore, psychologically, we must be quite aware of it, that we should not be trapped saying, oh, it is now equal to me. When there is a disappointment, you have tried your best and you have failed, and you know you are going to fail again. You are disappointed. Then whether you succeed or you fail, it doesn't make any difference afterwards. Once you have become disappointed, that equality is a very low kind of equality.
That would be tamasic equality.
It's a tamasic equality, or even worse.
How does one keep a sustained effort
to equilibrium? That now Sri Krishna will tell you at the end. That's why I'm not even speaking about the last, the highest kind of equality.
You know, the diksha, udasina, nothing corresponds to action and knowledge and bhakti.
That's right, you are right, absolutely. Very true. When you are moving on the path of devotion, then nati comes in the middle level. If you follow the path of knowledge, udasinata comes in the middle stage of your equality. And when you pursue the path of action, then stoic equality comes in your, titiksha comes in your way. But there are lower levels also. So, we must make a distinction between the semblance of equality and true equality. True equality and the truest equality. So at the lowest level, one may be proud, for example, and yet one may feel in that state of pride, I accept everything. I am I, so it doesn't matter at all. So in pride also there is a kind of equality. If you are hard and indifferent, then also you are equal. If your consciousness is hard, there is no softness in your heart, then everything is equal. These are all lower kinds of equality. So very often in the yogic process all these things come. But we must know that this is not the real equality. Or this is a higher equality and this is the highest equality. The highest equality arises when you perceive Samam Brahman. When you see that in everything there is the Brahman. An equal Brahman in everything. That is the real equality, the true spiritual equality. Ekatvam anupashyataha. When you see oneness everywhere, then there is a real equality. It is even higher than philosophic equality. It is higher than udasinata. In udasinata, you stand above and you see everything lower than you. But in the real spiritual equality, there is spiritual oneness. You are not higher. You see everywhere oneness, the knowledge of oneness. Equality and knowledge are equators. In fact, Sri Aurobindo says that karma yoga is fully fulfilled when you can combine knowledge of oneness and the attitude and the status of equality. When you have both these together, then that is the culmination of the karma yoga. Now, this equality, the knowledge, having seen Samam Brahman everywhere, and you will see in these verses which I read out, the status of equality when everything is seen as equal and one, Samyam Stita. When you stand in equality by seeing the real equality, Ekatvam, in the sixth chapter again Sri Krishna will repeat it saying that when you see me in all and all in me, when you see that, that is a true knowledge. You are not only thinking. In the philosophy equality you only think, you have understood. But here you really see the oneness. There is a distinction between thought and knowledge. The knowledge is the light by which you grow into oneness with your being. There must be first of all a light by means of which you grow into oneness with your highest being. So there must be an experience of your highest being, experience of oneness with it. And the light by which you can see this, you can experience it, it is that which is called knowledge. This is the true definition of knowledge. That's why we said knowledge is not information. Merely to be told that all is one is not knowledge. It is maybe a thought at the most. But knowledge is reserved, this world is reserved only when there is an experience of your highest self, experience of oneness with it, and the light by which you can experience it. This is knowledge. In that state of knowledge, it will be impossible for you to see the divisions. As Sri Aurobindo says, the mark of realization is that you see the truth and it is impossible for you to see the falsehood. You cannot even see, even when divisions are shown, you can't see divisions anywhere. Ekatva mano pashyata. You really see everywhere oneness. Even if you are told, look, this is your enemy and this is your friend, he doesn't see that way at all. He sees Shri Krishna smiling here, he sees Shri Krishna smiling here and everywhere. So, ekatvam eva anupashyata. Everywhere is the same Lord. Outwardly you may be told this is your enemy and this is the friend. But in the real realization there is no difference at all. Everybody really is impossible for him to see. That is called the state of realization. It's not merely information that you are all one. In which you don't see this same Lord presiding over everything. Similarly, when you have a real knowledge, then you cannot but do the right thing. When you have only the philosophic knowledge, you may know dharmam janami nachame pravrittihi. I know what is dharma, but I have no pravritti towards it. That is because it's only a philosophic knowledge, what is dharma and what is adharma. But if you have true knowledge, it is impossible for you to do anything wrong. Your consciousness is so imbued with goodness that action will proceed from you automatically, which will be a right action, a good action. You cannot do a wrong action. That is the mark of knowledge. It is not information, but knowledge. It is that which gives you the true equality. So, when you perceive oneness everywhere, and then from that perception you see everything equal, and you attain to equality, that is the real equality according to the Bhagavad Gita. All others are only steps. They are not real equality, they are only steps in the process. When you see not only the oneness everywhere, but when you see the Supreme Lord everywhere, Bhoktaram, one who enjoys everywhere. So there you do not have only equality, but you equally enjoy everything. Even when what you call misery comes, you feel a great delight in it. Equal delight in what we call joy and equal delight in what we call misery.
When Buddha says this, Janani,
yes, yes.
But then he put whole thing, the responsibility came up with the area that is to be. So then where can we put that? He says, I am not doing it. Somebody else is doing it. Then who's
It is purely philosophic attitude. It is not the attitude of true knowledge. When you want to defend yourself.
That is defending, no?
He said defending oneself, saying, what can I do?
I am not doing.
I have already designed in such a way. But as I told you, the mark of true knowledge is that he cannot but do the right thing. The true sense of true knowledge is attained by you when it is impossible for you to do the wrong thing. There is also a doctrine of Socrates where he said, virtue is knowledge. When you truly know, you really become free. And when you really become free, you cannot but do the good. His definition of freedom is not that you are free to do good or evil, that is called a freedom. He says the real freedom is attained when you cannot but do the good. That is a state of freedom. So here also in the spiritual teaching of the Gita is also the true freedom. When you are really free, you have only embrace of God. You cannot embrace anything else. You are really free. So when you see the oneness of reality everywhere, when you see the same Lord who is enjoying everything, then there is a real equality which is not only enduring. The sense of endurance goes away. You really enjoy it. As Narasimha Mehta, for example, the great saint of Gujarat, the Nawab who had heard that Narasimha Mehta does miracles. He called him to his court and said, you show me a miracle. He said, I never do any miracle at all. So he said, no, there are so many miracles people are saying, so either you are a hypocrite or you are a real saint. You tell me, prove yourself. He said, how can I prove anything? I do nothing. So he says, no, you are now telling a lie. He said, no, I am not telling a lie, it's a fact. I never do anything, only Lord does everything. So he said, then you tell your Lord, then now you show a miracle. So he said, it is not up to me to tell the Lord. Whenever he likes anything, he does it and I enjoy it, whatever he does. He said, all right, I'll send you to prison and remain in the dungeon. So he was sent to the jail and he was in a state of great joy. And after 3-4 days, his daughter came to see him and said, Father, I can't see you in this condition. Why don't you show some miracle? So you just show and you'll be released. So the father said, I cannot do anything at all. Only Lord, if He pleases, if something will happen by itself. So he said, no, you sing one song, one bhajan. So he sang one bhajan. And the garland, according to the legend, the garland which was worn by the idol of Sri Krishna in a temple, it flew from there and came and sat down on the neck of Narasimha Mehta. And this was witnessed by the Nawab. And then, of course, said that for me to stay outside the jail or inside the jail, both were equally joyous experiences. It was delight in both the conditions for me. So when you see the Lord everywhere, and Lord not only as same, but also as the enjoyer, that is the last sentence of the 29th verse of the Bhagavad Gita in this chapter. Bhoktaram yajya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram sukhridam sarabhutanam gyatva mam shantim ritchati. You see here now loka maheshwaram. You see the Supreme Lord who is the bhoktaram, who is the enjoyer. He is a mischievous Lord who plays the whole game. And even when He gives pain to us, actually for Him it is joy. And if you understand it is also for us a joy. If you really understand His game, He knowing me as the enjoyer of all sacrifices and penances, as the great God ruling over all the worlds, as the friend of all beings, attains supreme peace. This is the real state of equality, but in a state of great joy. So the equality which is described in these chapters by Sri Krishna is not equality at the lowest level, nor it is even the middle level. It is the highest equality which comes from knowledge, which comes from the knowledge of oneness, which comes to you as the knowledge of the Lord of everything, who enjoys everything, and who is at the root of everything, and therefore all experiences are transmuted into delight. This is the equality that is we find in the Bhagavad Gita, and the divine worker is the one who has this equality. I think we stop here today, and we shall continue next time. We couldn't finish the 2 chapters as yet.